You said he was going to lead us out of these infernal mountains?
Well, yeah, that's what we came here for. That's right, ain't it, Joe?
Can you lead us out of here, Mr. Fox?
You know the way through these mountains?
The question came from a brute of a man who had been content to listen up to that point. He stepped through the gathering.
We just run one sorry scalawag off that claimed he could lead us to the Willamette Valley. Well, now you show up, claiming to know the way out of this canyon. How do we know you even have a notion where the Willamette Valley is?
I can take you out.
Huh.
I can take you out of here to a better place to camp. I ain't sure you can make it past all the mountains between here and where you're talking about going before the snow closes most of the mountain passes. And I don't know the Willamette Valley you spoke of, but I know how to find Oregon.
What the hell do you mean? We can't spend the winter in these mountains. I don't know about the rest of you folks, but I need to get to Oregon before winter sets in. And I don't care what no half-Injun says. I say we quit pussyfooting around and strike out straight across these damn mountains.
Hold on, Starboat. There ain't no call to get your back up till we talk this over.
That's just the damn trouble we had all along. You and Simmons and Chadwick ain't been good for nothing but talking things over between yourselves. Well, I held my tongue up until now, but I have my say on this. You hired that damn no-account Skinner, and now you're hiring this half-breed to just drop down out of a tree somewhere. I want to know why the hell we can't be past the mountains before winter sets in.
Let's try to keep a civil tongue here, Starbo.
Bradley looked at Joe Fox.
Is what you say our only choice? Why can't we make it through before winter?
You started too late in the summer. You've been going around in circles and you got too far left to go. I said I could lead you out of the mountains. I never said it would be easy, and I never promised you'd make it before spring. A man can't say for sure what the winter will be. Maybe the snow will come late and the passes will stay open, but I doubt it. I've seen no sign. I can take you to Missoula Mills, where you'll find some more white people. If you're wise, you'll set up your winter camp there.
What will we do? We'll perish in these mountains.
You'll perish if you try to strike out straight west like this damn fool wants to. I'll lead you north from here until we get to a valley I know. It's a little longer than the way a hawk flies. But these mules don't look much like hawks to me. And the way I'll take you, there's game for food if you have to settle in for the winter.
If we make it to that valley you mentioned, will we be free of the mountains?
Joe made a concentrated effort to hide his astonishment for the naivete of Raymond's question.
No, you'll still be in the Bitterroots. There will be many days' journey beyond that.
Oh, no. This is just like the Donner Party.
Don't even start that kind of talk. We ain't the Donner Party. We're able-bodied men, and we can build a warm winter camp if we have to. Joe Fox here says he can keep us supplied with food. You just gotta have faith in the Lord and faith in ourselves.
Get faith in Joe Fox.
Ain't nobody said you had to stay with the party, Starbo. You wouldn't be here in the first place, but you asked to tag along after we left Bismarck.
Jake's wife, Cora, took him by the arm and pulled him a few steps away.
Let it lay, Jake.
Yeah, little man. You best listen to your wife and let it lay, else you're liable to get your scrawny little back broke.
20 miles out from Bismarck, Starbo had suddenly appeared, riding a broad-chested dun and leading 4 mules with heavy packs. He said he was a pilgrim, just like the rest of the party, looking for a place to settle where he could practice his Christian beliefs. Bradley should have listened to Jake then when his wiry little friend doubted the rough man's sincerity. It had not taken long before the rest of the party had doubts about the loner in their midst. With few words for any of the others, Starbo had kept to himself for the entire journey, never asking nor offering assistance on any matter, and preferring never to participate in the nightly prayers. It was soon apparent that the surly brute was along strictly for the safety of numbers. Now he had permitted his venomous core to emerge, and again Bradley felt it his responsibility to defuse the volatile incident.
Cora's right, Jake. It's best to calm down. We're all just a little bit touchy right now.
Can't no man talk to me that way. I'll have your apology now, by God.
Or what? What are you gonna do about you, little bantam rooster? I do what I please, and I say what I damn well please. What are any of you Bible-thumping sons of bitches gonna do about it? Huh?
Yeah, I thought so.
All right, you yellow belly. You got a gun on your belt. You ready to back up that big mouth of yours?
We need to calm down.
Jake tried to push Cora out of his way, determined to defend his pride.
No, Jake, no!
But maybe you ought to give her the gun, Simmons. Well, she looks like she's got more spunk than you. Maybe you ought to come on over to my camp, Cora. I believe I could give you a little more of what a woman like you needs. I bet you ain't getting it from that bantam.
Making his way through the ring of horrified spectators, Joe stepped in front of Jake. Turning to face Starbo, he raised his rifle and took dead aim on the bully's forehead.
Oh, what the hell? This ain't none of your affair.
It ain't a fair fight.
It ain't a fair fight. Ain't none of your business, you damn half-breed.
Now it is.
All right, mister. You want a showdown, you can have it. You're wearing a pistol. Put down that rifle, we'll see who walks away from here.
Why would I do that?
For a fair fight, damn it! Ain't a fair fight with you already holding a rifle on me!
I don't fight fair.
Starbo abruptly turned and started toward his tent. Joe lowered his rifle slowly, watching the sullen brute depart until Malcolm appeared at his elbow.
That was too close for comfort.
With reflexes sharpened by a life of survival in the wild, Joe whipped his rifle up and aimed at Starbo, who had just fired.
Ow! No!
His shot took Starbo in the shoulder. Joe went straight to the wounded man, his rifle aimed at his head.
Wait! There's been enough killing with us starting to kill each other. He's wounded and you were right to shoot to defend yourself, but if you shoot him now, it'll be nothing less than murder.
The man tried to kill me. I don't give a man more than one chance if I can help it.
The Bible says thou shalt not kill. We are Christians, so I'm asking you not to pull that trigger. At least let us call a council to talk this thing over.
What does your Bible say about those Grovant we killed?